know Jonesy likes wild cherry. It's a Tom Jones Tuesday at 2:06. You're on Kate Radio. Jonesy, a good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, doing well, Aaron. Yeah, 8th grade, Wild Cherry at Southwest Junior High. Remember that song? Very, very well.
Well, we got to, you know, I'm excited because we are finally starting prep sports. The girls' tennis team is in action today. The volleyball team's got a scrimmage in Austin tonight. Football starting in Iowa coming up this weekend. I know you're a huge fan of prep sports. And, you know, away we go. The season is upon us.
Yeah, it sure is. I know Upper League football has, I believe, four teams coming in Saturday morning out at the Gus for scrimmages from 9 till 1 o'clock. I'm not sure how many games we'll have going on at one time, but I know I've been asked to be an official out there, so I'm planning on being there. So, yeah, it's here. It's time. Let's get it going.
I'm pretty sure it might be 6 or 7 teams. I only got a total of 8. It's a big, big jamboree, and they're going to be having that pork roast out there, or roasting a hog, and it's a fundraiser for the Albert Lee Football Booster Club. So I'm loving this time of the season. Absolutely.
Yep. And I think the 4th and 5th grade tackle program I just saw on Facebook is beginning their season, and tonight, too, I believe it's Southwest, or either tonight or tomorrow night. But, yeah, football is alive and well here. It's my understanding we've got a lot of new kids that played before that are coming back out again, or have come back out again, and last I heard, up to maybe 70 kids in 9th through 12th grade. So pretty good numbers from what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, week from Friday, we'll be out there at the August for the opener against the Faribault Falcons. Of course, every Tiger football game right here on KATE. So, Jonesy, what have you been up to sports-wise? What's keeping you busy?
Not a whole lot, actually, in between seasons for the kids, everything, and getting ready to crank up. I did resume, I don't know if you saw it, but I used to write a Sunday sports column in the Albert Lee Tribune, and that's now back again every Sunday, to looking at sports memories. So that's kind of a fun thing I used to do, and then when COVID came along, it kind of wiped me out, but now they want me back on again. So Sunday was my first column, and I just look back and talk about sports memories of the past from Albert Lee. And it was interesting, Aaron, when I was researching it, I had forgotten you used to write a column also.
I did, yes. Yeah, that was a lot of fun back in the day. That was, I want to say, Andrew Dierdahl at that time was the sports guy.
Okay,
I want to say,
yep,
and then,
that would make sense.
And then Nick Gerhardt might have been the sports guy after that. It was during that era where I did, maybe for a few years, wrote a column for the Albert Lee Tribune. What did you talk about this Sunday?
Well, I think because it's kind of in between seasons, they only had two local things in it, and the big one was 50 years ago, Jerry Cappers, who is still coaching at Mankato East for both boys cross country and track, and a member of our Hall of Fame here. Jerry Cappers was welcoming 25 potential runners for the boys cross country program, and he was also welcoming his first year assistant coach, Howard Mellum, who went on to coach track, cross country, many different sports for many, many years in Albert Lee. So I've had a few comments on that around town the last few days, and you know, I look back and say 50 years. In fact, I talked to Jerry Cappers, making sure that he was still coaching up there in Mankato, which he still is. And you see the guy, you wonder how, I mean, the guy's just in amazing shape. And to be able to say he had done that 50 years ago is amazing.
Because Jerry, he's in the Albert Lee Hall of Fame, correct?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Okay. I remember talking with him. Was that recently or was that many years ago?
It was before my time, so before I got on. So he must have been early on in one of the early classes of it. And I know he was at the last banquet here we held last summer and had a nice chance to talk to him. And I run into him every now and then. And he used to come and sit down with, I call it the old guard, at Albert Lee boys basketball games down in the corner. And then he moved up to Mankato here 3 or 4 years ago. So I don't see nearly as much of him, but I do go back and forth with him on Facebook quite often.
Now, Jonesy, besides that, did you have anything else in the column yesterday? Or on Sunday, I should say.
Look back at the Twins 50 years ago. Look back at the Vikings preseason game against Buffalo, in which O.J. Simpson scored a touchdown against us. We all forget O.J. Played 50 years ago for the Bills. That was a couple of different things. Talked about P.J. Fleck. Can you believe that? 5 years already at the helm of the Minnesota Gopher football team. And how he announced the first year he was going to have two quarterbacks rotate starting quarterback for the Gophers. I think one was more of a runner, one was more of a passer. And how little you forget, you just say, my goodness, that's 5 years already or 10 years. And we didn't have normally a 25-year look back, but the microfilm at the paper I could not find for 25 years back, so I had to go to 5 and 10s, which I'm sure is going to be the case again this week.
So when you're doing research, you're going through, did you say, like the microfilm, like what we used to use in the library?
What we used to use in the library is correct. In fact, it was funny when I showed up last Wednesday to quickly knock a column out for Sunday's paper that Sarah Stoltz looked at me, the published editor down there, and she said, hey, this machine hasn't been used since you were here last. So I had a laugh. I still know how to use a microfilm machine, and I guess I'm kind of old school in that respect, but it's a lot of information out there, and I can't wait because now I'll start looking at looking at 1972, like Lee College football, Albert Lee football. Lee College, I believe, still had a football team going in 1972. So there'll be some good history stuff coming up here, probably as soon as this coming Sunday, because I'm heading off there right now to write Sunday's column when we're done here.
Now, Jonesy, how do we ever make our kids understand how difficult, or I shouldn't say difficult, but how time-consuming it was to gather information back in the day? Because they'll never understand that. They'll never get that we had to take these plastic slides and put them, and then they would shine on
the
screen.
I mean, Aaron, I should just drag my two kids with me down there and show how to look up stuff on microfilm and how to handwrite it out on the notes and then bring it back to my office and put it into the computer and send it back down to the paper. It takes probably two, three hours for me to do a column and make sure it's right and research it properly. And last week, I'll have to say, I was a little hurried because I was on a quick deadline when I was announced I was going to be able to write it again. But I'll put a little bit more time into this week's when I go down there now. But, yeah, you're right. The kids today would have no clue how to do something like that. And I don't think how to research anything like that either. But I went to a funeral on Sunday for Mary Keating. And Mary was, everybody in town, I think, knew Mary Keating. And she had 9 kids. All of them pretty much were sports athletes in Albert Lee. And her son Ray's in the Hall of Fame now. And from being a swimming group that was a 1978 or 79 for Albert Lee, there was 4 of them that went to state and won the state championship. Anyway, we're just at the visitation, or I should say afterwards, they had a little reception at Wedgwood, and I had a lot of people come up to me out there, a lot of former Albert Lee athletes that came up and said, hey, I saw your column. You know, it's really great to have you back out there again doing that. And so it's great because I get to do this show on Tuesday live with you, and then Sunday I'll be able to talk about the history of Albert Lee sports, which I dearly love to do, much more in-depth.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on KATE. Jonesy joins us every Tuesday, of course, right around 2:05. And, you know, we have to bring them up because they're your team, the Minnesota Twins, had some trouble scoring against Texas. If I was a Twins fan, I guess I wouldn't panic. And I mentioned this yesterday with Mike Grimm, that you look at the Twins, you look at Cleveland, you look at the White Sox, and to be honest, all three teams are pretty average. I mean, they are. They're average teams, and someone's going to get hot in September and win the division title because somebody's got to win it. But all three teams have been pretty inconsistent all summer.
As Ori Jarrell used to say about my basketball game, my strength was inconsistency, and I think that's the case of all three of these teams here because nobody seems to be able to knock off a 5 or 6 game winning streak. Twins, they got like 4 in a row there, and then all of a sudden the bats went silent again. And I'm not going to say it's my team right now because I have kind of quit watching and listening to them, but who knows what's going to happen there. And I think the scary thing if you're a Twins fan and have any hope of the postseason is you look at some of the players that are now in the regular rotation were St. Paul Saints for the first 2/3 of the season. And, you know, Saints a very average team in the AAA league this year. And so you're relying on guys that weren't having, a ton of success at AAA by any means. You got a lot of players hurt, and Buxton obviously is not putting the runs like he should. But I there's some things I think a person really needs a question on what they do with the Twins. I think 25, 26, 27, whatever the number is, stolen bases for the first 120 games or however many we played, that's just insane.
Yeah.
And you've got some speed out there. Byron Buxton, if you can get him on base, it should be a double. I mean, he should steal second every time. And Jake Cave's got some speed, and some of the other guys, Correa, I know, has got some speed to him, too. And when you're only going to steal 25 bases, that number right there is a telltale sign to me that some things need to change. You need to be more aggressive. And, Aaron, we've talked about this in the past. When you get into the playoffs and the World Series, it becomes small ball. The games are 4-3, 3-2. Your strong arms take over, and your guys that can pitch 7-8 innings, your real bulldog pitchers take over those playoff games. And I just don't see any of those three Central Division teams having that.
No.
I want to say Sonny Gray for Albert, or for the Twins, maybe. Ryan, when he's on, is really, really good. But you know, you look at those rosters and you say, who has that bulldog pitcher that's going to be a number one come playoff time? And I don't know if there is one.
No, absolutely. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on KAIT Radio. And Jonesy, I'm not sure if you saw this today. Do you recognize the name Luke Garza? Recognize the name
of it? Tell me more.
So Luke Garza, 6'11" center that used to play at Iowa. He played there for four years. He just signed with the Minnesota Timberwolves. It sounds like maybe a 10-day contract or something to try to make the roster. Iowa's all-time leading scorer, 2,306 points. He's 6'11". He is built. I mean, he looks like a strong farm boy. I mean, he really does. And now he's a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So just a note for you, they're continuing to go big. They're getting more bigs on that team.
Well, the other thing too, Aaron, is of course they've got the big three there with the payroll. So you've got to fill in with some lesser paid players to fill out your roster. And it looks like a good pick there. And you know, you and I have talked a ton about basketball and how it's changed and becoming where these 6'10", 6'11" guys are playing the wing and shooting threes, and that getting the ball down low into Jabbar or into Chamberlain and Meyer or guys like that, you just don't see that much anymore, and it's all kind of more of a run and gun, and that's actually kind of gone down into the high school level too. And it'll be interesting now. I've seen these schools, and Albert Lee's got their shot clock up already too on the scoreboard, and they have to start going to a 35-second, I believe it is, shot clock. And there's a lot of debate on that too. My goodness, we could talk a whole show on that, and we'll save that for the future on some of my thoughts on that. But let's just say I'm not real eager to see that come into high school basketball by any means.
You know, I haven't, when I talked to Harrison Cates this summer, I guess I never even asked him. I know this year, if conferences decide to use the shot clock, they can use it. Do you have any inkling that is the Big Nine going that way already for having the shot clock this year?
You know, I haven't heard if they are or not. And I know it's up. I saw it up there this my last officiating summer job. And so other schools, like I was in Blooming Prairie this summer doing some roughing, and I saw it up there too. They had it in boxes at the end of the gym, and so they were getting ready to put it up too. But I don't know. To me, that shot clock was made for Bloomington Jefferson versus Lakeville North section finals, where one team's going to slow it down. But when you have a Gopher Conference game of Alden Conger against Randolph, do you need a 35-second shot clock? I don't think so. The other thing, too, is all these schools, small-town schools, are pretty much getting backed into having three-man officiating crews, too. So we're going to have to see how that plays out with all the small towns. And not only that, it's budgeting for the schools. I mean, you add another $150 in there times 28 games for boys and girls with three officials. That's a little bit of change.
Absolutely. Now, Jonesy, you know, one thing just touching on the shot clock, and I've heard this from many people, is it's going to force really good teams to keep scoring. If a team's up by 30 or 40 points, they can't just, kind of run their offense and go through their motion. They have to keep scoring because the shot clock told them they have to.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never even thought about that. And and we'll have to see how that evolves too. So that's a little trial and error, I think, see how it works out. And I don't think it will really affect Albert Lee games per se. Our offense is much more of an up-tempo offense, and to go 35 seconds will really be slowing things down.
Jonesy, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Well, you kind of nailed it earlier. You said about the Albert Lee girls volleyball. My daughter's right now with her ACL injury, not being able to play, but she's a manager for the varsity, and they have a 3:40 takeoff from Albert Lee High School to go over to Austin, and people are invited too. My remind notice I got that for parents are welcome to go over to Austin. I don't know if you have an actual time for the scrimmage, but next week, I think next Thursday, it might be our first home game of the year, so we'll look at doing that. I look back, Aaron, I started working volleyball games in Albert Lee, I believe, 1985 or 86, and I've only had 1 year off since then. So it's about a 35, 36-year streak. So when I finally decide to retire, I hope I get a golden volleyball.
4:30 over in Austin today is when the next scrimmage starts. Varsity only. So if you're looking to check out some volleyball, head over to Austin and cheer on our Tigers. Absolutely.
Hey, do we know what gym that's in there? And I assume it's in the main, the Packer gym.
You know, it doesn't say in this note.
Okay.
It doesn't say.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you'll find it one way or another, either Packer or the Bourbon. So head on over there. It's a beautiful day for a drive and get some Tiger volleyball. They got a lot of kids back from last year's squad, and I think they should have a pretty successful season. And we'll see everybody out Saturday for the scrimmage at the Gus, and we'll look forward to watching what Paul Dunn has in store for the Tigers this year.
Sounds good. Jonesy, have a great week. Appreciate the time like always.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. Thanks, listeners. Everybody have a great week.